I want to tell you that facts fuel our faith in Christ. When you were saved because of the facts that are in this word. The fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That was a fact. That's the fact. The fact that Jesus' blood was shed for us is the reason that we got saved. Not because of our feelings. I really want to try to teach us that it's not about our feelings. That's another thing I hear from people is feelings. We have feel-good messages and feel-good music, and like that last song we sung where we had six verses of the same thing, usually there's 12, and it gets us into this feeling. You guys, it's not about feelings, okay? You didn't get saved because of feelings. Feelings plays a part, and it's good to have feelings. You know, it's like touching a hot stove. If you couldn't feel it, man, you'd melt your hands off, right? Facts fuel our faith in Christ. And the feelings, they are the fruit of our faith, okay? And I'm going to explain this stuff out, but facts fuel our faith. When we have the facts and we believe them, it gives us faith. It grows our faith. And once we have a grown faith and we start doing what we're supposed to, you guys, the people that get to come into the eternity with us is where we'll get our feelings, man. It's a cool experience to lead someone to Christ. Those are the kind of things that should give us God bumps, we call them, right? Or should move us to worship God with our body or to dance around or whatever. That song was talking about dancing. We don't do no dancing here. Man, if you were out leading people to Christ and filling this place up, there'd be some people dancing in here probably. Okay, that's what fuels our feelings. So if we get this out of order, we end up like Ephesians 4:14 says, blowing around with every wind of doctrine, okay, and the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness, it says there. All right, when we start getting into feelings, men start making those feelings, and then we're out of whack. So, you guys, and also focusing on those facts, it can be fun. Me and Michael had a kind of a fun conversation Tuesday. There's things in the Bible, you guys, that is just fun. Funny. There's funny stuff in here. It's fun. It can be interesting to go through D2 and learn things that maybe you've never heard of before or maybe had questions about. It's fun to learn those things. So, and it'll increase your faith. So, as far as I know, everybody here professes Christ. If you don't, you've already heard the gospel, okay? You're going to hear more. So, some people that I've talked to around say, well, here's what scares me about feelings. Well, I feel like I'm saved. You know, I think I'm saved. Or I want you guys leaving here today knowing you're saved. Okay, and there's a verse that is it actually your memory verse, right, Michael? 1 John 5:13. If anybody ever says to you, I think I'm saved, give them this verse. 1 John 5:13. Let's turn to it in your Bible. This is the Apostle John, the Beloved. He even wrote in John, I think either chapter 20 or 21, that he writes these things so that we can know. He writes these things so that we could, and he could have wrote more, he said. There's so many things he could have written about Jesus. But 1 John 5:13, towards the end of your Bible, says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So look, fact number one, I don't really have these numbered, so I can't say that, but first fact, you can know that you're saved, and knowing that should increase your faith. Well, I've been saved, I've done that. I've been baptized, I've done that. I've joined a local church 20 years ago. I feed the poor and I do service projects. I've done mission work. These are all good things, feel good things. I quit all my bad habits. That's not always a good feeling, but maybe it is. I read my Bible. Do you understand your Bible? That's not always a great feeling to have to read my Bible, right? I just don't feel it anymore. Why don't you go to church? I just don't feel it anymore. Sooner or later, you guys, if it's based on feelings, this will happen. If we're moved by feelings, if we're moved by the music, if we're moved by somebody telling us how good and beautiful and smell good we are and all those things, we'll start doubting our faith. If we don't know that we're saved, we'll start doubting. We'll be off to find somebody that'll tell us what does feel good. We'll surround ourselves with those people, those things of the world. And then they're not even sure they're saved. This will happen if your message is feelings are based on emotions. So again, there's nothing wrong with having feelings, having emotions, but when you use them to feel the things in your life, especially your faith, you're in for a rough ride. Your fuel should be the Word of God, right? We have a blueprint. I'm a carpenter. This is our blueprint for our lives, right? The blueprint tells you how to build something. If I was to go to work and just start building something the way I wanted to because of how I felt, they'd look at this thing and say, "What are you doing? Where's the blueprint? Why does it not say what this says?" You know what I say? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not building my life according to this. It looks a mess, right? So, all kinds of things people say. I don't like the music. I don't like the Bible you use. I don't like the pastor. Not enough people, too many people, smoke and loud music. And guess what? Those are God's churches. You think if they play rap music at the church, it doesn't mean it's God's church? I don't know, go to Africa where they dance around in church and use drums or whatever. Just remember, it's God's church, but we need to focus on the Word of God. So don't get me wrong. God's given us feelings for a reason, but not before Scripture. Not before Scripture, not before our God-given authorities, our local church, our pastors. Do you realize that in the Great Awakening, the early 1900s, I think it was, maybe late 1800s, you think those pastors were feel-good messages? They weren't. They were expository preaching. I've listened to some of them on the radio, and I was like, they're like monotone. They were giving you the Word of God, and there wasn't any kind of, it was just giving it to you, straight line, okay? It was probably loud. They were probably yelling with no microphones. You know, heard of Charles Spurgeon in a great amphitheater, 10,000 people or more yelling to these people? You go preach on a street corner without a microphone, or with a microphone, you have to talk loud. People think you're yelling at them. Lots of times, no church buildings, maybe no cars, no jobs, no good means of transportation, hardly any money. But that was the Great Awakening. People were moved to know Christ. And it was because of the Word. It was because of the Word of God, the message that they had. So take advantage, you guys, of the truth that we have in our church. Take advantage of the teaching, and we've already talked about that. So simply, very simply, right here, get saved, get to studying, so you can get to sowing. Okay, those are S words, sorry, not the other words. And we like to call this around here evangelism, discipleship, and missions. And what's cool about it, if I had a chalkboard, like Tom always draws on the chalkboard, you guys, evangelism, discipleship, and missions, and then you go back to evangelism. It's a circle. It keeps going, keeps going. We go on the field, on the mission field, to do evangelism, right? To do discipleship, to do missions. So we're in the discipleship right here. Let's get discipleship so we can go on mission, so we can go evangelize and get more people in discipleship. Then discipleship is a fancy word for teaching, if you didn't know. It's not really a program that we have. It's teaching. Teaching you how to be God's man, how to follow Christ, how to follow Paul. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So, my point. I'll tell you what will give us fuzzy feelings. Jesus will give us fuzzy feelings, right? He'll give us God bumps. Why? Because he died for us. That should give us fuzzy feelings. He died for me, right? I know what I've done, but he died for me. How do you think that felt for him, right? What kind of feelings was he going through? To be punished, to be going through the wrath of his own father. Something else will give us good feelings. He wants us. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to follow him. Like I said, it says, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, follow me in 1 Corinthians 4:16, 1 Corinthians 11:1, and Philippians 3:17. Follow Paul. Right? Follow Jesus. Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. We're not going to die for our sins. We're going to follow like Paul followed Christ, right? We're going to go plant churches, make disciples, just like Paul did. So follow, follow, follow. He commands us to study. This will give us feelings. When we have that answer we were talking about earlier to some of those questions, that gives us a good feeling. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Brad just went through, commands us to study, you guys. And trust me, I'm no better than you are sometimes at studying. I've got too much to study for, things I don't want to study for. I got, you know, I hardly have any time for personal time with God or just to clear my head and think about nothing for a while. But these are things we should want to do because it can be exciting. He wants us to renew our mind in Romans 12. Jesus wants us. A quick list here. Why? Because Jesus is better. Jesus is better than Facebook. He's better than what games you play. He's better than what books you read. Jesus is better. There's 10 things in Hebrews that says Jesus is better. I'm just going to run through them. You don't need to write them down. You can look them up. All you got to do is type in the word better to your Bible app. It'll take you to all 10 or more of these verses in Hebrews. Jesus is better than the angels, it says in 1:4. He's a better hope in 7:19. He's a better testament. You know, this is written to Hebrews. So, you know, the better testament is to increase their faith in the Messiah. The Messiah has come. He's a better testament. He has a better ministry in 8:6. He was a mediator of a better covenant. He established better promises than there was before. Jesus is a better sacrifice than the Old Testament sacrifices, right? That's in 9:23 and 12:24. Jesus is a better possession. He's a better substance. He's a better faith for us. That's both in 10:34 and 11:40. Jesus is better, you guys. He's better at providing. Jesus is providing a better life after. He's better. It's a better provision for eternal life in 11:16. And Jesus had a better resurrection in 11:35. Jesus is better. That's why we should follow him. He's so much better than anything you're going to get here. This might be something you want to write down. Oh, one last thing there. 1 John 5:20, right after the verse that says that you should know, that you know that you have eternal life, he says that he's the true God. Jesus is the true God in 1 John 5:20. Well, that's 11 reason why Jesus is better, because he's a true God. So, true God, now we have true life. Write this down. True life change doesn't happen because of an emotional experience. True life change, it might be part of it. I remember that day being emotional when Jesus saved my life. But true life change happens because, not because of an emotional experience, but because Christ has opened your eyes and he's opened your heart to his principles from the Word of God. This is a firm foundation. He opened our eyes. Romans 10:17. You guys, anybody quote that one? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Our faith comes by hearing from the word of God, not because of anything else, not because of a man, a preacher, a baptism, a, You know, anything we do, Lord's Supper, nothing. Christ has opened our eyes and our heart from the Word of God, and He's given us the Holy Spirit. And He is our new Father in a new family. That discipleship lesson will never get old for me. I'm in a new family. I didn't just join a new church. I joined a whole new family of people for eternity. And that is something to be excited about. That's something to get warm and fuzzy about. Now, you're saved and sealed until the day of redemption, it says in Ephesians 1:13. That's future, right? We're going to talk about that F word, future, here in a minute. Okay, but here's some more facts. Maybe you can write this one down. Before you can go with your feelings, you got to get the facts. Did we already write that down? Feelings and knowledge without biblical facts will lead you to religion. Okay? I don't have time to get into all that, but you grab something that you feel is good, you go find somebody that teaches it, and then you can just sit under them and not do what this says. Do what some man says. Don't do that. Facts are the root of salvation. We think we talked about that. Our salvation was based on facts. The feeling is the fruit. We need to be planted firmly in the Bible. And that's why we're here. That's what we're about around here. Being planted in the Bible. If you're rooted in feelings, you won't be rooted in the Bible. What if a tree's not rooted in the ground, you know? It plants its roots deep. The bigger the tree is, the deeper the roots got to go so that thing can stay up and not be blown around with every wind of doctrine. So facts are, Christ died for sinners, buried and rose again the third day. It even goes on to say he was seen of above more than 500 people. We got testimony now, okay? Above more than 500 people. And then not just that, but thousands of people have testified from that day till this day. You guys ever listen to people's testimonies? We got this thing called podcast now. You can listen to any message, any testimony, anything in the world right now. Listen to some testimonies. Just remind yourself that God is still changing lives, okay? We have lots of those testimonies around, even the people in your church. So you were bought with a price. That was a costly price, you guys, God's only son. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells you that. You called upon the name of the Lord. You called upon the name of the Lord like Paul did on the road. Lord, Lord. And what did he say? What will you have me to do? Did you do that? Now he's your master. He's your Lord and master. He's a loving master. He's not a slave driver. He's not just your Savior. So many people I talk to say that. Who's Jesus to you? He's my Savior. Well, is He your Lord and Master? Jesus is the Word. So, well, how do you know those are facts? How do you know this is fact? That's a good one. Try it. Try it. Right? Me and Jessica with the kids. Eat your food. Well, I don't like green beans. You've never even tried it, Zeke. How do you know you don't like green beans unless you try it? Or whatever it is. You guys do that? That doesn't look good. Indian food. I went to London and ate Indian food. You talk about gross looking. Man, is it good. Of course, those people in real India probably eat it, every single day. I'd say curry every day would probably not be good. But it was good. I didn't know it until I tried it. How do you know those are facts? Try it out. Make it a fact. Make it your testimony. You can know, we saw in 1 John 5:13. Prove out what you believe. It might just help the guy next to you along. It might help your neighbor along. Here's a good verse for that. Turn to Psalms 34:8. Does anybody know that one? Psalms 34:8. That says to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, Zeke, taste it, see it. Might be good. Might be your favorite food. Taste and see. Taste and see if what I'm saying is true. Use the faith. Use it. Some more facts. That should increase your faith rather than your feelings. God is creator. The relationship we have with Jesus is with the creator. I think it says that Jesus created everything in Colossians 1, 16 or something like that, 18. We can look around and actually see what God created. Trees, seas. I should have had a bunch of F words there, huh? Fruit? I don't know. Here's some cool facts. Okay, this changed my life just a few years ago. It just increased my faith. Adam lived. Adam and Eve, everybody knows the story. A lost person knows the story. You guys, Adam lived within 70 years of Noah. Does that make sense to you? They lived so long back then. The overlap is unbelievable, and I was going to bring you the map. I wish I had the ability to be able to put stuff up there, but someday. I've actually researched it and drew my own chart out, and it was horrible, but it worked. And then in class just last year, I got one. Nice colors, had some explanations in it and some lines drawn, but Adam lived for 900 and something years, possibly, Tom, right? He lived all the way almost to Noah. 70 years, which was nothing then. It's really hardly nothing now. But what does that mean? That means that Noah's father lived with Adam. Now tell me about those stories. Adam named the animals. He named every animal. He was in the garden with God. You think he had some stories? I don't think Jesus took his mind away when he sent him to, the cursed earth. That's amazing to me. I don't know if that gives you warm, fuzzy feelings, but it goes on. There's more. What an eyewitness testimony. Man, you can think on that. Michael, we were talking about just thinking of these things that people don't talk. We could think on that for a while. Think about it. Think about all the people that there already was on the earth, and then Noah. And now let's think about the flood. Actually, you have Lamech, Methuselah, Enoch, and Jared, they all lived at the time of Adam. And I think those were all alive, if I remember right, close to Noah anyway. So I don't want to say the wrong thing. But anyway, eyewitness testimony is proof. It's proof in a court of law. So when Adam's telling Lamech, hey man, you wouldn't believe when I had to name the giraffe, right? You wouldn't believe that thing when I first saw it, man. That thing was crazy. Or whatever. You could go on and on thinking about that. What about the flood? You know that, I don't want to get too far ahead of my notes, but secular scientists believe in a flood. Almost every religion has a flood. The flood was a real deal. It's a fact, okay? Even with secular, non-believing people, the flood is a fact. Why did God flood the earth? It says in Genesis 6:5, because of the imaginations of their hearts. Does that sound kind of like feelings? God thought up all this stuff, whatever they were thinking back then. Terrible stuff if you read it. And even after. I heard somebody say there's over 300 different accounts of a flood. So everybody believes in a flood. We know the real flood. Okay, but check out the timeline of the flood. So Shem, Noah, Shem, and all them guys is on the ark, Ham, Japheth. They lived long enough to tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about the flood, firsthand testimony. I think that's cool. These people lived so long, they had all this testimony. Their grandpa, Shem's grandpa, Lamech, was telling them about Adam. Shem gets on the boat and brings it over to the, after the flood, firsthand testimony, and lives to be able to tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you wonder why some of them had so much faith? They had firsthand testimony. You guys, it's no different with us. We have firsthand testimony right here. That's why they mention the people, the 500 in the gospel account, because those were big deals. It was a big deal to have a face-to-face testimony. Okay, enough about that. But you can imagine, you can think about all the things you can think of the Bible. The Red Sea, can you imagine? You ever watch the old movies? Can you imagine walking between the waters on dry land? Or was it when Joshua took them over, they had to actually step in the waters, if I'm thinking right? That's faith. Man, there's just so many things we can imagine. And I want to get into just a little more, if I have time, about imagining things. Not in a bad way. God actually tells us we can imagine some things. He says that heaven's going to be more than we can imagine, right? I can't remember. I was looking up the verse the last minute. I couldn't find it. I know God tells us we can think about these things. He tells us in Colossians 3, 1. Let's go there. Colossians 3, 1. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and one I don't think we think about enough. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see that there? Did I tell you the right verse? Hey, not only that, but set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. How much do we do that? I mean, I know, you know, we should lay up treasures there. We should, you know, pray to God and fellowship with Him. But how often do we think on these things? How often do we, you know, set our affections on those things up there? Well, what's up there? You guys, if we were going on, we're going on a trip. Okay, we're getting ready to go on a trip. And I don't know if Jessica has, but I've been researching it. I want to know what I'm doing. Now I can YouTube it, right? What's it look like here? What do we got to do? Man, I can see, I can almost not even have to go there, really. But you want to. Have you done that with your eternal home? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, like, said, I'm going to read the Bible through, okay, let's just say the New Testament. I'm going to read the New Testament through, and I'm going to think about heaven the whole time, what it's going to be like. How many verses tell me about it? Because it doesn't always say heaven, so it's kind of hard to look up the words. It takes a little study to try to figure this stuff out, and some of it, he leaves us up to our imagination, I'm guessing. Heaven is our eternal home, you guys. How much do you think about it? How much have you dreamed about it? I always tell my kids at night, you know, dream about heaven, dream about Jesus, because you could dream about Jesus and fulfill all your time and about heaven. Keith Green says, Jesus left 2,000 years ago to say he was going to build a home for us. And he's been building it ever since. I don't know if that's true, but if he's been building that place for 2,000 years and he did this one in 6 days, think about how cool that's going to be. I think you could fill up a lot of time thinking about heaven. Well, let's think about one thing in John 14, 1. You guys know this verse too. Do you believe this verse? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's basically saying, believe it or not, this is fact. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. Heck, that was before Jesus went there to build us a home. Right? Might get in trouble, but other Bibles don't use mansions. I want a mansion. Right? I don't want a room or I can't remember the other word they used. Change the words, that's fine, but I want a mansion and I don't deserve it, but it's okay. So you guys, our faith, just use it, okay? Use it to think on these things. Trust it. Believe it. Search it out. Study it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have to trust. We have to obey. Hebrews 11:1. Turn there. Talk about faith for just a second, and then we're going to go back to heaven in the last 10 minutes. I just realized there's a couple ways you can read this verse. What is faith? What is faith? Is it something you can see? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You guys know that verse? That's exactly how I've always thought of it in my head. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Read it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. All right? It's not just things hoped for. It's not just things unseen. It is a substance, and there's evidence to it. And like I said, we've seen it in the testimonies, in our testimony. Well, there's evidence of faith, you guys. It's here. It's there. You can feel it. I feel it. It is feelings, but it's not feelings. You know what I'm saying? Be careful with those feelings. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. When we believe the facts, you guys, when we believe by faith with evidence, with substance, when we put our shoes on, put our boots on and walk in this faith, like I said to write down earlier, you know, feelings is the fruit of walking in faith. Yeah, the devils even believe and tremble, right? Put on Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, "For many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This makes me think of a skit we did once before about, I think it's Ray Comfort that talked about the parachute. You guys ever heard the story about the parachute? The lady tells the guy that put a parachute on when he gets on the airplane. It'll make your flight better. Okay, he puts it on. It's all uncomfortable, man. People are laughing at him. It's like, this ain't going to make my flight better. People are like, so he hides it up in the thing. Well, she tells another guy, hey, put this parachute on. This plane's going down, right? You think his ride was uncomfortable? No, he was like, I'm wearing this thing. I have faith. She told me this plane's going down. You guys, we need faith. We need to put the parachute on and keep it on because we know what's coming. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Future. The fact is, you guys, our future is going to be fun. We're not going to be laying around on clouds strumming harps. The future is going to be fun. Fantastic, right? How many more F words do I have here? It's set in place, you guys. Our future is set in place by God through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Our future is based on how we're... It's even based on how we're going to handle our faith. You know about the judgments, right? Believers will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ of what we did with our faith. That's why we want to get that thing right. Maybe there'd be more fun there. I don't know how that all works out. But the judgment seat is for believers. I don't have time, but it's in Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5. Talks about the judgment seat of Christ for believers. And then you have the white throne judgment for unbelievers. And you guys, this should increase our faith too. We don't want to see no one go to hell. I can tell you, let me just list a whole list of things here. Revelation 20, you guys, talks about the great throne, great white throne. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. God is not a bad God. He made hell for the devil and his angels. And he's not willing for any to perish, but to all to come to repentance. But there's seven things about hell real fast. It's eternal. It's inside the earth. That's Mark 9 and Matthew 11. It's hot. We know these things, don't we? I bet we know more about hell than we know about heaven. It's hot. It's dark. Where the worm never dies. There's fire. There's smoke. It's real. We'll be conscious. We won't, but they will. You guys know the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Why does God motivate people? Satan's motives for fueling our denial of eternal punishment is so people reject Christ. For Christians to be unmotivated to share Christ, Satan does these things. He gets our minds into some feeling somewhere else. And so that God will get less glory. That's what Satan wants. Because he's a loser. He's already lost it. Rich man Lazarus tells us that the wicked suffer terribly. They're fully conscious. Cautious? I don't know. Can't say that word. They retain their desires, some memories, reasoning. This is all in the rich man Lazarus. Do you want anybody to go there? They can't be comforted. One drop of water. Just give me one drop of water. They can't leave their torment. It's forever, eternal, never ending. There's absolutely no hope, which is probably the worst one yet. This is why we persuade men. So, heaven. I'm not going to tell you about heaven. I want you to research it. Actually, this might be what my dissertation's on. Listen, about heaven, I'm going to leave you with the good feeling. You guys ready to go eat? Can I have 10 minutes or less? Yeah, I bet we know more about heaven than hell, but maybe it's because Christ told us more about hell. I don't know. But we have a command in the Bible in Colossians to think on these things in heaven. I don't think we have a command that says think on hell. So set your minds on things in heaven, not things on the earth. But we should have an incredible imagination when it comes to heaven, okay? And if I'm wrong, tell me about it. But I think we can imagine. I don't think we think enough on the subject, and I don't think we know enough about the subject, but I think the Bible has a lot more to say than what we think. Why do we not know these things? Why is it not taught a lot? It's not an HBI class. I was thinking about that. We don't have an HBI class on heaven and hell or anything like that. We're getting ready to go through Revelation, maybe. So we know who goes to heaven, right? Believers, the redeemed, the ones that are freed from sin. They're now made righteous by the blood of Christ. Where's heaven? Heaven always says it's up. So heaven is up. Is it, you know, this is where you can get to really imagining. Is it close, up, you know? Is it in like another sphere? Or is it beyond the galaxies? Is it way far away? It only takes Christ a second to get us there. I don't know. These are things that would be cool to think about. You know, the Bible talks about three different heavens. So be careful of your context. There's a heaven, the atmosphere of the earth. There's a heaven, the outer space, sun, moon, and stars. And there's a heaven where Christ is, where God is, at the throne. So be careful of your context. But where we'll be dwelling with God forever. So when does it happen? At death or rapture. We'll go to heaven, not the new heaven. Did you know there's a new heaven and another heaven, a temporary heaven right now? That's something I didn't know. When I read that, it blew my mind. God said he will create in Revelation 21 or 22 a new heaven and a new earth. That's our eternal home. Well, what's that going to be like? You can read it all right there. But the temporary heaven, it will still be super awesome, I'm sure. So I think it'll be spiritual. And I think the new heavens and new earth will be physical because we'll have our bodies back. A body? What body? I don't know. Look it up. Let's research this stuff. Man, what's it going to sound like in heaven? What's it going to smell like in heaven? What's all the beauty of heaven going to be like? Paul talked a little bit about this in 2 Corinthians 12. Things he couldn't even talk about. They were so great. Sounds he heard. Is it going to be habitable? Is there going to be other inhabitable planets, stars, moons? Is there going to be parks, museums, rivers? I mean, I can go on. How's it all going to take place? Where's it going to be? He says it's going to be a new city coming down out of heaven. A city. What's a city mean? What's a new earth mean? There's a book called Heaven. It kind of researches all this stuff. He said it's a new earth. So it's going to be an earth like this earth. He calls it a city that comes down. So it's going to be a city. There's going to be people. Is there going to be buildings? I got a whole list of things somewhere here. All kinds of things, you guys. The New Jerusalem comes down as a city. Will we know people? Will we marry? That question was asked to Jesus. Will there be animals? Will we know our pets? Right? Beck, you going to have a pet that you want to see there? Will we rule and reign with Christ, the Bible talks about? Will we eat and drink? What will our bodies be like? I think we have a picture of that with Christ's resurrection. I think we have a picture of paradise in the garden a little bit. Will we learn? What will we be able to experience? Will we know about the past? It says there'll be no more tears. What does that mean? Will there be a government? Will there be, you know, a society? Will there be different cities? You guys ever thought about these things? I haven't thought enough about them, or I'd have all the answers for you too. Will it be cars, buildings, jobs? It's not going to be boring. It's not going to be floating around in clouds. I always wanted time travel. Go back into history. I want to see the Red Sea part, right? I want to see what the flood was about. I just lost myself in the notes. So, you guys do that on purpose? Can you pray about that? Okay, well, facts over feelings, you guys. Let's get the facts. Let's put our faith to work. You know, the feelings will come when we walk, when we put our boots on, when we walk in our faith. Okay? And you guys study, not only to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, but study to have fun. Think about these things. Where did all this stuff come from? God has not left us without answers. And I bet you there's men that haven't got all the answers yet. Maybe you're the one to find the answers. So study. Take a hold of what this church has to offer, just with teaching you the Bible, teaching you about doctrines, teaching you how to fellowship, how to be faithful. And just keep praying that Jesus comes back soon, but we might have 5 years to get through the Institute, but we might have, 5 hours. So that's all. Let's pray.